All right, this is Kinnaid and myself down here in Tucker, Georgia again. And Kinnaid's been having some speeches to make around the country. And one of them that he made not too long ago was Romeo and Juliet. And that's a story about a boy and his girlfriend. And he was in love. And Kinnaid, you want to tell us some more about it? I don't believe I know it quite like it ought to be told. So I'll turn it over to you. Well, this is a story about a young boy and girl, and about it was a stage play, and all the characters were up on this big stage, and they was telling about how it was long time ago. And this story about Romeo and Juliet's about this boy and girl, and it tells about them being in love and what happened to them on account of them being that way. Well, sir, everything right there from at the very start seemed like it had been all right, except for the fact that their daddies didn't get along. Now, that's a terrible thing to say, but it showed everybody right at first there's a throwing this great big fancy Valentine's Day party, and they had invited nearly the whole town to be there, but they didn't invite a single one of Romeo's people to come. In fact, they never even invited Romeo.
Mm-hmm.
And he got to some of Romeo's buddies learned about the snubbing that he is getting, and they went over there and told old Romeo about it and talked him into crashing the party in a costume. And that showed old Romeo right there he had guts. I mean, he had plenty of them.
What was Romeo's last name? I never did know.
That comes later on in the story.
Okay. Yeah.
But anybody, you might hear, he got in his costume, and he got over, and he got inside, and everything seemed like was working out real good for him, and all of a sudden he seen Juliet come a-traipsing down the stairway in a brand-new party dress.
Juliet, she wasn't his wife yet.
Oh, no, but his heart went petty-pet. And he run up there, and he give her this little recitation right in front of everybody, and before Juliet hardly knew who all else was there, she done satiated out on this little patio out there with Romeo, and they got out there, and there's this little pond out there right out there on the edge of kind of the little patio, and there's a standing out there, and she's pitching pebbles in there kind of like young love birds do, you know. And all of a sudden there's this fellow by the name of Tybalt. He seen Romeo out there, and he recognized him right through his costume. And when he did, he come over and he tried to pick a sword fight with him. And Juliet, she got so nervous, she dropped her pebbles in her pocketbook and pitched her hanky in the pond. And her daddy right away sized up the fact that somebody's fixing to get killed on his property, so he run old Romeo off. But Romeo wasn't the mind to go where he had been told to. He run out and hid behind the smokehouse till all the lights got out in the party and everything, and he hid out there. And then all of a sudden he seen this light come on way down on the far end of the castle. And he says, "Hark, what light by yonder window shines?" And friends, it's just as if little Juliet had heard him a-harking out there, because about that time she's come out on this little porch.
Did he have
and
a guitar?
She commenced to talking in her native tongue.
Did Romeo have his guitar that night?
No, he didn't have his guitar, but he run down there and he got there just about the time that little Juliet come out there and said, she kind of whispered in sort of a loud voice.
Yeah.
She says, "Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?" And old Romeo, he jumped out from behind wherever he is hiding at. And it just so happened that there's a great big gourd vine a-growing up right by the side of that little porch. And Romeo, he grabbed a hold of that vine and clung it without even pulling his shoes off. And he got up there on this little second-story porch, and that's when this big scene takes place that everybody talks about. But to show you what an honorable boy old Romeo was, he asked her right then if she had started wearing an apron in his kitchen. And, of course, little Juliet knew what that meant. And so she asked the question then. Most any girl won't know the answer to a time like that, you know. She says, "When?" And Romeo said, well, he wasn't there to keep her waiting. He said he was ready right then. And
I'll have to give you a little bit of background on how things was back then. The reason they had these great big castles and all is because whenever they had these big parties and reunions, they had to have some place to put them up. You know, there wasn't any hotels or motels or YMCAs there for people to stay in, so they had these big, great big castles, and usually at these reunions and weddings and things, they had some, there's so many funerals and weddings that took place at times like this that they usually kept a preacher on duty around the clock, or around whatever it was they kept time by in them days. But anyway, it so happened that this fellow by the name of Friar Lawrence was on duty that night. And so they run down there to the cell. Now, I didn't figure out just exactly why they called some of them preachers friars back in them days, but I figured it must have been on account of they're being sort of young. They're being sort of young, and they called. And anyway, Friar Lawrence was on duty that night, and they went down there to the basement where his cell was, and they woke him up, and Juliet told him she wanted to get married. And so he married her to Romeo. But then they spill the beans.
Oh, I get it. Now, that's kind of like fries, you know, fried chicken. Oh, yeah.
Okay,
go right ahead, Kenneth. I didn't mean to interrupt
but
you.
But Romeo's kind of spilled the beans because he told them that the family's been having a little bit of trouble. And the friar, he decided, well, Romeo, you better go home first tonight and then let kind of Juliet kind of break this news to her people kind of gradual-like. So Romeo, he did. Went on home, and Juliet went back to her mama. But the very next morning, Juliet's mama got her up, and she told her she done worked things out, and she had her all lined up to marry this handsome society boy. And she told all
that's
Juliet
Romeo,
what her,
wasn't it?
No, told Juliet. That's Juliet's mother. That's
Romeo was wasn't he?
No,
wasn't,
it wasn't Romeo.
Oh,
but she told him that she told Juliet that what her plans were, and it upset Juliet so bad that she just about had a conniption. And she run back down there to Juliet to the cell where little Friar Lawrence was, and he tried to give her some consolation and all, but he just didn't know what else he said.
He was too young.
Just said everything he could and didn't know what else to say. So he thought he'd just kind of mix up a little bit of toddy and kind of ease her feelings some. And he must have put a little bit too much of whatever it was he mixed up in there in it. Because when Juliet drunk it, she passed out. And everybody, including her daddy, figured she had just passed on. Well, sir, he is awful upset about it, but they did just, you know, what they figured they had to do. They had went ahead and made the funeral arrangements and all, and he bought this nice little cemetery place. And they had a big old funeral right down Castle Boulevard. But Romeo didn't know about all this, so some old mean boys got together, and they went over and told him what had happened before any of his friends got over to give him any aid and comfort. And when Romeo found out what had happened, he went out there to the wash house, and he grabbed hold of this big bottle of lye, and he led out to the cemetery with it. And when he got there, the funeral was all over, but they'd buried her in one of these little tombs up on top of the ground. They didn't put her down in the hole, but she was in this little tomb, and he pushed on the door, and it was ajar, and he went on in, and he got in there, and he saw where Juliet was laid out there on this slab, sort of like, and he saw her laying there, and he took the cap off of that jug of lye, and he turned up and drank about half of it, and he said, he leaned over there where Juliet was, and he said, after he drunk the bottle of lye, he said, Juliet, with this kiss, I die. And he just fell out across to there where she was.
Mm-hmm.
But he was kind of a big boy for his age.
Mm-hmm.
And when he fell out across to her, it woke her up. But she seen what, she realized what happened. And when she did, she said, figured life wasn't worth going on anymore anyway with him gone. And so she pulled out this little saber that was in his little holster. And she run it right through herself, and that just ended it all. And that was the end of the whole play.
What happened to that other half of that lie, jug of lie? I just wondered.
Well, it was still there, but And, you know, I figured about what this, I tried to study about what was the, what's the moral to it all was, and I figured it out that there was a moral to the story, and it said, if you're a boy and you have a sweetheart that somebody tells you has passed on, and they really hadn't, if instead of finding out the truth, you'd rather go ahead and die, then one sure way of doing it is to swallow the lie.